Welcome to 2013. This is the DTNS Bonus Rewind Show, where we go back and look at old tech news from 10 years ago. At least that's what we're doing these days, looking at 10 years ago, and compare it to what we know of the future of 2023. Who's with us? Sarah Lane.
I'm with you, Tom.
Roger Chang.
I'm with you.
Hey, Tom. It's great to be at this reunion.
Scott Johnson.
I am also with you.
All right.
Imagine if Scott was like, you know what? I'm out.
Actually, no.
Never really liked September 2013. After all,
bad y'all. Month for me. Thanks, everybody. Peace. Yeah,
no, don't want to revisit. Bye bye.
I kind of don't. We were closing on our house and I hated it. So, yeah,
But you love that house. You just hated closing.
I can't really remember what terrible thing happened in September of 2013, but I'm sure there was something.
I got a proposed contract renewal in September.
I got laid off.
That's not
okay. Yeah. Right. There we are.
That contract was never resolved.
A little this and that.
Yeah. Also, Nokia was having a bad month because it sold most of its phone business to Microsoft.
Oh, that was then?
Yep.
Remember, like, we were all thinking, like, oh, Microsoft in the phone business.
Microsoft getting the devices and services unit. Nokia granted Microsoft a 10-year non-exclusive license to its patents. That's expiring now.
Oh, my. You think they're renewing them or trying to do something with those now? Probably
I think they
not.
Probably stopped using them a long time ago.
Well, the Lumia. Yeah. Like, I remember at the time being like, okay, if you're Nokia, you're not thrilled. But it kind of made sense. Well, just consolidate and see, you know, how the branding might go forward.
Sure.
I don't remember, but I don't think anyone was laid off. They just had new bosses, like their whatever division they work for.
Stephen Elop became EVP of devices and services and then was in charge of that stuff at Microsoft. He had left Microsoft. I didn't realize this till I saw this old rundown note. He had left Microsoft to become CEO of Nokia in 2010.
Oh, wow.
So it was a return for him.
Those Lumia phones, to this day, I still think those were really pretty. They were nice.
I like the phone, and this is what bugged me about the whole thing. I actually used the Microsoft phone for at least like a month and a half, and I thought it was a really good experience. What bugged me was that it was only from one branded phone. Not that I have anything against Nokia, but I felt it would be more like the Android experience that you would have a bunch of handset makers. Versus the Apple, where it's all ours.
It was unusual of Microsoft, right? Because Windows, you put on lots of devices, and it was odd when Microsoft began start to make laptops and tablets with Windows on it. Whereas with the phone, I know that Microsoft would let other people make Windows phones, it's just nobody did.
Yeah, I remember at the time too when they bought this. There was a sense anyway that this was Ballmer's way of correcting, because he would famously really down talk the iPhone after it was announced in 2007. And he was like, yeah, this thing's too expensive and no one's going to buy these and they want keyboards and, you know, all that stuff, and didn't see the Android thing coming. Like, he's just completely blindsided and they missed out. This felt like them going, or at least it felt to me like they were going, all right, well, now we're going to buy it. These are done. I mean, we've got phones over there already, plus a brand everybody loves and uses, and we're going to make these new phones and Windows Phone, blah, blah, blah. And they just didn't have the, whether it's follow through or just didn't have any initial numbers for them to do what they had to do, but it was kind of a bummer. I was rooting for them. I was hoping
I really enjoyed the experience. I know they tried the whole unify the whole tile UI, and it worked really well on the phone, but it's like light cola. You can't come in so late in the game after Pepsi and Coke have established.
It was a good move for Nokia, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Nokia did fine. I think they probably...
They basically got ahead of what HTC and LG and others have had to do over the following 10 years in saying, yeah, we'll just license our name to HMD. They can make phones in our name, so there'll still be Nokia phones out there, but we don't have to incur any losses.
Yeah, and there's nobody's putting that name on anything now, right? That's just
Nokia. Yeah,
deal.
Yeah. No, that's what I was just saying. HMD is making phones with the Nokia name, and Nokia just gets money for that.
I didn't realize that was happening.
Yeah, I'm sorry. HMD pays Nokia for the right to make the phones. Now I'm saying that I now I'm starting to remember there might have been a story recently that that license went to somebody else besides HMD. That could have been another brand because HMD was also making BlackBerry phones.
Yeah.
But Nokia is not losing money on phones because they're not the ones making it.
No, their money, they got a different way of getting the money now. Yeah.
On September 4th, 2013, Eurogamer reported that Sony was working on a device similar to the Oculus Rift VR headset for the PS4.
Whoa.
Turns out they were right.
Yeah, they were right about that.
And look how well it worked out.
We are all using PS4 VR.
The PS4 VR one worked. It sold really well, surprisingly well for an add-on accessory.
That was snarkier than I meant it to sound. just where we are in VR today.
Yeah.
This was, early stages.
For sure, very early stages. And had Meta even. Or not even Meta, but Facebook even bought Oculus yet? I don't even know when that happened, but I don't think
they hadn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was still
not in 2013.
Still Oculus the brand
and
all that. But PSVR 1 was a big success. I can tell you now, jumping ahead though, PSVR 2 has not sold that well. It's been kind of bad. And it bums me out, partly because of price, probably. I don't know.
I think there's competition, kind of, and a lot of speculation of well, what's the next big thing? And I think we've been in that period for about 5 years now when it comes to VR.
They also
stuff.
Made the cardinal sin of not making backwards compatible with the previous VR games on PSVR 1. So you couldn't move most of that forward.
Yeah.
There's a new version of it. You got to pay $10 to get the new version or whatever, but not good enough. They really should have made that.
I think people were more excited about VR 10 years ago than they are now though.
Yeah.
Well, because it was it was a fresh feel. Like who's gonna come in with
it was also, the future. Mm-hmm. And now we're kind of we've seen some hints of the future. I mean, I'm a VR enthusiast, but only for a couple apps. I'm not, wearing a headset more than an hour a day, maybe. Yeah, the future of VR, and I know Apple would love to own that, will be interesting in the next year or so. But yeah, I think a lot of people have just sort of lost interest.
Our question on Tech News Today at the time was, would this give Sony's PS4 an edge over the Xbox One? The answer is no.
No.
It didn't need this to get an edge over the Xbox One.
Sony scored too many exclusives for that to swing it.
Didn't hurt it either, but...
No, Sony just outperformed him in general, but it wasn't the fault of... It wasn't because VR took off on one and not the other.
September 9th, 2013 was interesting. California, according to this Ars Technica article, poised to implement the first electronic license plates.
Oh my.
Plates would be a screen that could wirelessly receive updates, including information like stolen or expired.
Wow. Cool.
I
assume that I reported on this. I don't remember this exactly, but if I had at the time, I probably would have been like, okay, so if for some reason I'm driving down the freeway and my license plate says stolen... But it wasn't me, mistaken identity, whatever. I can see there being a lot of issues with this, which is probably why this didn't catch on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were reported stolen when you didn't steal your car, that's the same. I don't know. I feel like that's less of a reality. I think these didn't catch on because they're just unnecessary.
Well, it did. There was no... Yeah, I mean, it was unnecessary, and there wasn't anything that it was doing that needed to be done.
Right.
That's a really good point. What is the point? To replace metal printed things, I assume, so you save on material waste, I guess.
Yeah, but for the end user, it's such a minor aspect of car ownership, other than putting on the little sticker.
Well, it's also a giant transition because you can't just automatically have it so everybody's car now suddenly has an LED screen on the back of their car.
It was e-ink.
or e-ink, sorry.
Yeah, so, but either so way, this was very low power.
Right. But you'd have to retrofit cars, kind of like electrics.
You you could just glue these on. It's called the physical plate.
So yeah, they were modular that way? You could just stick them on?
It was a self-contained unit.
Five-year battery, Bluetooth, and LTE connectivity.
I really like this in theory.
Yeah.
I do.
You can still get it.
Yeah.
It's $600.
And if you want to steal a car or something, you already had methods.
$600 for no versus for, no dollars.
For which to obfuscate the license plate. So, you know, this is why it didn't catch on.
It's $600 freaking dollars.
Yeah, that's too much.
I mean, people around here drive with paper plates.
No way.
I've seen more paper license plates than I have digital license plates.
I don't think I've ever seen a digital one that I know of. I'm sure I have.
Well, the paper—that's just when you lease a car or buy a car, and you just
you haven't gotten your plates yet, or you're like me,
and you just don't put the plates on because who has a screwdriver?
Where would you even get one?
Where would you get one? Oh my god!
It's too bad this isn't video because there's
y'all think I'm some sort of genius? Come on. I can't do that.
Also, it was September, so even 10 years ago, Apple was announcing new iPhones, and this was the iPhone 5S.
Oh, boy.
And 5C, which was their first, like, cheapy, the $99
5C. Oh, yeah, the plastic phones. Yeah. So the 5S was the little... That was the last little one.
Well, the five was the first long one.
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
And the 5S was the same.
Right. Same. But the six size. had essentially the max option or the pro. Whatever they called it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm. I have fond feelings for the S. F5S. I don't know why. For whatever reason, that marks like a fun era for that phone. I enjoyed it.
The first time Japan's NTT Docomo got the iPhone. Back when you had to get the iPhone on your carrier.
Mm.
First time China got the iPhone at launch. 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Mm. You know, it's funny. I don't know how many of you use slow-mo video, but it was kind of like the... And look what you can do, like a videographer.
Yeah.
And I happened to do a fair amount of like international travel where I was like trying to be very artistic, and it really came in handy. I remember being like, wow, so cool. Don't have to use a third party app for this, which you could before.
Yeah. Yeah.
This will, so I just checking to see what the jump is. Back then it was 720p maximum, 120 frames per second. The phones currently support, or as of the 14, I don't know if the 15 got bigger, but, 1080p at 240, so they effectively doubled the frame rate.
Wow.
It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Also, Touch ID.
Touch ID, that's right. Sarah, do you miss Touch ID still? You've talked about that sometimes. You don't like
I do. Yeah. I mean, I've kind of given it up because Face ID works. It works fine. It actually works really well. But yeah. Touch ID just made more sense to me. And Touch ID is something that I'm, you know, well, now it's like Palm ID with Amazon stuff. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's not my cross to bear anymore. Right. But I was mad about that for a few years.
I remember you were not happy.
I was bent out of shape. It just felt like something that was easy versus something that was not.
I think a lot of us have gotten used to it now.
So sorry, yeah. Tom.
I said you finished the grieving process.
I did.
You finally got to acceptance.
So, yeah. I am in acceptance, and you know, maybe a little bitterness, but that's okay.
Acceptance isn't bitter-free. I think that's a good point. Yeah. Google security executive Heather Adkins told TechCrunch Disrupt 10 years ago that any startup that relies on passwords as its main method to secure users and their data needs an abuse team set up to deal with customers getting compromised.
Oh, she said, goodness.
Passwords are done at Google.
Whoa, well, that isn't true
and,
at all.
You know, how interesting that, you know, from that day forward,
no one ever entered a password.
No yeah. Google app ever needed a password from that day forward.
Yeah.
Even when you need to check in and verify the account. They don't,
you know, though, all kidding aside, Adkins is totally right. We're still trying to grapple with that and figure out, you know, what the right thing is, because passwords are not good enough.
They simply aren't. 100% right. The passwords were not good enough 10 years ago and still aren't. Nobody relies on just passwords anymore. I think she was right about that. If she had said it a little differently, I think she'd be 100% right, which is only passwords, which I think is probably what she meant. Like, just passwords alone with nothing else is done. And that was done 10 years. She was 100% right. And almost no one who cares about, and certainly no site that cares about security, doesn't have some kind of second factor, or we've detected unusual sign-in behavior, or something like that. And Google is done with relying on just passwords. That part is true. But sadly, we haven't moved on to passkey for everything, or FIDO, or which I think was what she was thinking, is we were going to like have this FIDO alliance thing come along in a couple of years and then wipe out passwords shortly thereafter, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think it's fine to reach that to the sky on that stuff, because that, you know, the more protected our data is, the better. But she'd probably be pretty happy. Well, I mean, not that she died or anything, but if somebody asked her today, how do you feel?
I remember
about
Heather.
Yes.
She probably feels pretty good.
R.I.P. Ms. Adkins. Well,
she probably feels like there's been progress, if I had to guess. Who knows?
But I mean, in 2013, I think there were a few of us who were like, password managers, that's the way to go. And people go, it's too hard. Or, you know, I just use the same password across multiple, that sort of thing. That was the conversation you were having. And now, maybe still with some people, but now it's sort of like, password managers, not that secure, turns out. Mm-hmm. Depending on the password manager. So it's like we're having the same conversation as we're trying to get to the ultimate better place.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a decade.
No.
The iPhone 5S came out. So a year before that was the iPhone 5. And that was the first one that I had been using Google Authenticator when I changed over. I remember this vividly because I was setting up the iPhone in a hotel room in September, because I was at Veronica Belmont's wedding. And I was like, oh, I have to use Google Authenticator. How's this going to work moving to a new phone? And I was able to make it work. But I had just started using second factors on Google. So almost exactly a year before Heather Adkins said this.
Wow. You were on the cutting edge, Tom, as usual.
I don't know if it was cutting.
It hurt. It's pretty sharp.
Cutting edge, I would sharp. Say. I would sharp. Say. You yeah. can give
the
yourself
bleeding
that.
Edge. The bleeding edge.
The bleeding edge. I was bleeding.
The bleeding edge. That's more dramatic. Come on.
September 13th, 2013, Twitter filed for its IPO.
Oh, God.
And they've been so well funded and operated ever since.
Reported less than, okay, just get it out. Everybody hate on
all
Twitter.
All right.
I am so over hating on Twitter, but go ahead, get it out.
I'm not hating on Twitter.
Roger was.
I'm not.
What
Roger
what
was.
Did Twitter do?
I never
Twitter
said I was
tired of
it.
Sat there and got bought and got, replaced for scrap metal.
Yeah.
Twitter has filed S-1 for IPO, must report less than $1 billion annual revenue. Or it couldn't be confidential. So that we were reading the tea leaves, I think is what this note meant. Like, must be less than $1 billion annual revenue, which guess what? It always has been. I don't think it ever passed $1 billion annual revenue.
And I will say, and this is extremely regional, but I knew quite a few people who worked early at Twitter in some capacity, product or marketing or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they made a lot of money off this IPO.
Yeah.
The kind of money where you never have to work again kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
Good money. And, you know, it was right place, right time in many senses. Although, you know, you wouldn't have the job if you weren't smart to begin with. So, you know, it's not
the typical
all
startup,
happenstance.
Successful startup story, right?
It is. And yet, many of these people were just sort of like, Well, I'm glad I got out when I did. Because the IPO was sort of the beginning of a very, very different era for Twitter. Public companies all have to deal with this. Twitter was not alone. But yeah, it's been quite a wild ride since.
Mm-hmm. Twitter 10 years ago was a private company. And now it is again. On September 16th, 2013, Netflix uses pirate sites to determine what shows to buy.
What?
Netflix Vice President of Content Acquisition Kelly Merriman said, "We look at what does well on piracy sites when purchasing series. Prison Break is exceptionally popular on piracy." Reed Hastings said, "Certainly there's some torrenting that goes on, and that's true around the world, but some of that just creates demand. Netflix is so much easier than torrenting. You don't have to deal with files. You don't have to download them and move them around. You just click and watch."
Wow, sounds so rudimentary. He's right, but it's just, I can't believe we were ever talking like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's figuring out what your potential customer base is looking for.
Netflix in this era was, in my opinion, being honest and going like, yeah, piracy really doesn't hurt us. It's way easier to use Netflix than to deal with torrents. Anybody who's dealt with torrents knows it. Maybe it's worth not paying $19.99 a month for Netflix. Depends on your situation. I could totally see where it would be. But there's no arguing that Netflix isn't easier to use. And I think it was smart of them to be like, what's popular? Well, let's look at what people are torrenting. That's popular. Yeah. Let's acquire it.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds to me kind of like when Game of Thrones was, you know, the most torrented show ever, you know, and HBO execs at the time were like, do it.
We're flattered.
Yeah. Like, and it wasn't because they wanted you to get the show for free. It was because it was word of mouth and the momentum. And I think in the early days, Netflix was using that, you know, that same data of like, okay, we'll figure this out eventually, but let's figure out who likes our stuff.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's where we become.
And the big
a
lie that there is a lot of money lost to piracy. There is some money lost to piracy. I'm not trying to say there isn't. In fact, Netflix just demonstrated kind of a version of that when they cracked down on password sharing and their revenue went up a little bit. But that's it. They're not going to make any more revenue after that round. It's not nearly the number, the eye-watering numbers that get thrown around sometimes.
No, I agree with that.
On September 18th, 2013, YouTube reportedly would begin adding offline viewing to its mobile app in November.
Oh, they do that now with...
Yeah, but you got to pay for YouTube Premium.
Yeah, you got to have Premium. Yeah. That's right. Premium is one of my favorite subscriptions. It's the one I think I'm most interested in hanging on to all the time now.
Because of no ads?
no ads is a huge part of it, but the mobile experience is so much better on YouTube without...
Call me crazy, but sometime between now and back in 2013, you could download specific videos to watch offline.
Yes, you
without,
can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you could then...
When they launched YouTube Red, they put it into...
Oh, so it was an offering that was then bundled into something I had to pay for, which I just didn't. Got it. Yep. All right. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Yep. Red. Never forget Red.
I mean, it was truly... I know this is not what we're talking about, but every time anyone says YouTube Red, I'm like... The worst branding.
It was terrible.
You could ever
I can think of
have
worse.
Chose
not a lot.
I don't know.
Not too many.
I don't know.
How about at Twitter to X? That's pretty bad, but we won't talk about Twitter anymore.
Just there.
I don't think Twitter to X is that bad. I don't know why everybody's. I know everybody dislikes Elon, and that's fine. If you dislike Elon, dislike Elon. But if you take him out of the equation, Twitter changing its name to X is perfectly like okay. That's
it's
what's
weird.
Wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't find it like offensive.
Yeah,
and it doesn't offend me. I just find it pointless. I don't know what the point is. You take a brand people know and recognize and use all the time. Like, go watch a movie now where they bring up Twitter, which happens all the time. It sounds stupid now. Like, it used to be you were a brand.
I mean, I still, even in a non-snarky way, like if I write up a story, you know, I say, well, it's called X, so we're going to call it X. In a post on X, so-and-so tweeted, because X itself hasn't like figured out its
post.
Own.
You just say post-it.
Well, okay, but you know, I see like retweet. You know, it's like
It says anyway. Repost now. They finally.
It's just pointless.
Well, not on the Mac OS app. Which is
Elon Musk or not? I don't know. It wouldn't have mattered to me who did it. Yeah. Even if Twitter before all this said, "Hey, we're changing our name to X," I would go, "Why?"
Do you feel the same way about Max? Ugh, can't believe they dropped HBO.
Yeah, I hate that.
You don't seem to bring it up as much though.
Well, no, but it's because you know why?
Because you don't hate David Zaslav as much.
I like the content there. Twitter's content has got demonstrably worse, and so I feel like that's
arguably true.
Yeah.
Speaking of content, also on September 18th, 2020 or 2013, Microsoft was reported to be working on TV projects for its Xbox One Entertainment Hub. TV programming beyond the Halo series. Well, we did get a Halo series. It came to Showtime, and that's kind of all that Microsoft has ever done.
Yeah, and in that case, they just handed the rights to some production company, and they made a show, so it's not quite the same.
They made a show.
They had big plans. There was also a lot of crossover plans. They were supposed to have multiple games in development that would have real TV counterparts, and they would go back and forth, and you get story chunks from each. It was kind of
It's basically what taking the MCU, but making it making the part that you play just as... compelling as the actual show.
Yeah,
because you couldn't really enjoy the whole thing without doing either aspect of it.
And they did that with that Remedy game. I forgot the name of the game though, but it was sort of half TV, half live action, half video game. I just think it was a little harebrained and wasn't fully thought out, so it didn't really stick.
It kind of suffered from the backtracking where they were like, Xbox One is an entertainment center, and everybody's like, shut up, we just wanted to play games.
When they walked it back, it felt like all of this stuff got walked back, which is
making good original content isn't easy and it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
On September 23rd, 2013, Valve announced SteamOS.
Whoa, so that's interesting because the service itself just hit 20 years this year. So
SteamOS is half the age of Half-Life itself.
Yep.
Feels like SteamOS should be much younger than Steam, but it's not.
Roger, it is the Half-Life. That's a good point. I like that. Those guys, they had big plans for that. And turns out it all worked out because in the end, SteamOS is what makes the Steam Deck run, and the Steam Deck is a gigantic, unmitigated success. And they finally got, SteamOS ended up being the thing that makes that thing amazing. So, well done, Steam, I think.
Yeah, this is one of those 5 years on, you would have been like, this didn't work. And then 10 years on, you're like, actually, no, it ended up being pretty
good.
And in hindsight, it all it totally makes sense. Of course it would work.
The smartest thing Valve ever did was not go public. That's my personal opinion. They've been able to do what they want, how they want, for the entire time. They're still a private ownership company. They have no interest in an IPO. Even though everybody would make gigantic bank from it. And I think I believe in my heart of hearts, gamers have benefited from that and why people hold Steam in high regard these days.
All right, last one. And anybody living in New York, if you could snap a picture, if one of these still exists, send it to feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. New York State installed text stops along highways. Places for you to safely pull over and use your text messaging.
Text stops.
Because texting while driving, that was the big bugaboo. Everybody's texting while driving and it's causing accidents. So they created places for you to pull over called text stops.
I don't know why that seems silly now, but it does.
So they had, basically they just took park and ride facilities and rest stops and put up signs that said texting zone.
I mean, it is an acknowledgement of a serious problem. I just don't think
it's a very. I got rear-ended by an individual who was texting when she.
But nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah. I complain.
It's just
about
become
it
part of society that, like, oh, you shouldn't do it, but some people do.
Yeah. And when they do, I honk. I honk at people who do. I get mad.
And distract them even more so they actually do get in a wreck.
I just need them to, we're at a light and they're on it. And I'm like, meh. And then if they look at me, I'll go like this. And they know what I mean. And it's usually teens and young 20s.
Oh, no. In my experience, it's also people in their 30s and
early. And 40s and 50s.
Someone was careening in and out of their lane, and I gave them a honk because they were about to collide with me. And that person, I don't know, something got up their butt, and then they, like I drove by them, and then they, I guess 2 minutes later, they sped up and cut me off. Like,
were
really
they texting?
Fast.
Or are you just telling a story about road rage?
At that point, I think that maneuver. I think okay. I think it migrated from like, dude, Roger's this guy honked at me because it's on my phone. Yeah. I am, but I did not chase them or do anything reckless. I just thought it was
good for
rather,
you. Good man.
For you, Roger.
It was rather rude of them.
It was very rude.
Well, that is it for September 2013. How's everybody feel?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I prefer 2023. Yeah. To be honest.
I like 2015 a lot. If I could pick a year and live in it again.
That's a good one.
All right.
Bye.